Every Door in the Universe by Olivia Cerce. Narrated by Rhea314
and Revolutionary Joe.
Fandom: The King Eternal Monarch. Pairing: Jong Taeu, Igon. Cho Yong, Igon. Jong Taeu and Cho Yong.
Summary: Captain Cho Yong to Lieutenant Jong Taeu. Greetings. Captain Cho Yong to Lieutenant Jong Taeu. Greetings. I regret to inform you that there was an incident during last week's boat race. In short, His Majesty fell out of the boat. He has contracted a cold. Since he refused to stay in bed, I felt it was incumbent upon me to warn you of his indisposition. Everyone in the palace would also be exceedingly grateful if you were able to convince him to rest, although I am sure he would prefer to overexert himself fighting a mammoth or starting a riot in an unsuspecting Joseon village. On the rare occasions when he is ill, it tends to linger. Gratefully, Cho Yong.
The note was written on a crisp sheet of cream-colored stationery, embossed with the seal of the Kingdom of Korea. Yong's handwriting was neater than Eunsolp's, but the strokes of his characters were recognizably the same. Taeul folded the note and slid it back into its envelope, and then raised her eyebrows at Gon. Gon blew his nose on an exquisite silk handkerchief that probably cost as much as her car. "You read my mail?" Taeul demanded in mock horror. "Well," Gon said, not even bothering to look apologetic. "It was about me." "You think everything is about you," Taeul said, rolling her eyes. It was appalling how endearing she found him. "You're not the center of every universe, you know." Gon pouted. "Oh," he said, "we should go back to that one where I..." Taeul went up on her toes and kissed him, which shut him up very effectively, even if he did have to blow his nose again afterwards. "No," she said firmly. "We're going back to my place. Don't argue, Kim Kitong. I know where you live." "Igon, do not read this. Stealing mail is a crime, and I will have to arrest you again." "Yong, I tied him to the bed and force-fed him soup, which I am sure is treasonous, and I will now be beheaded. Next time I want the full story of how he fell out of the boat." Jong Taeu.
Captain Cho Yong to Lieutenant Jong Taeu. Greetings. Can you please explain to me exactly how His Majesty injured his shoulder? All he would tell me is that he was fighting crime, which seems highly unlikely. He is recovering quickly, but Lady No was most distressed. Gratefully, Cho Yong.
"Yong, you are a mother hen, aren't you? I did try to stop him from breaking down that door, but you know how hard it is to keep him from doing things he wants to do. He was helpful, though. I caught the culprit, and nobody even tried to sue us for property damages. Now that this case is closed, I suppose we can go somewhere more restful next weekend. But then you know as well as I do that even restful universes don't often stay that way when Igon is on the case. Even when I want to strangle him, I love that about him. I think you do too." Jong Taeu.
Captain Cho Yong to Lieutenant Jong Taeu. Greetings and apologies. I know it's not my right to interfere, but I've been taking care of him since I was 4. I worry even when I shouldn't. I know you would never do anything to harm His Majesty or put him at risk, and that I... A section of the letter is crossed out. "Thank you for looking after him. Thank you for making him happy. Gratefully, Cho Yong."
"I didn't read this one," Gon said, lounging against a tree in the bamboo forest. His shirt was unbuttoned halfway down his chest, and Taeul was distracted. Their greeting kiss had gotten slightly out of hand, and Gon had only produced the envelope when they'd finally taken a break to catch their breath. She tugged her cardigan back up onto her shoulders. It was spring, but still cool. "You're not supposed to be reading any of them," she said, taking Yong's note. She read it once and then again, frowning. Yong's handwriting was looser than usual, more like Eunsolp's. "I've been good," Gon says. "There's no need to arrest me, Lieutenant Jeong." His voice was light, but after a moment he said, "What is it?" in a completely different tone. "Is Yong all right?" Tael shook her head slowly. "I don't know. Has he seemed different to you?" Gon hummed, considering. "No, but he wouldn't necessarily show me. He always kept things close, even when..." He sighed, shoving his hands into his pockets. "You and Yong and I are the only people in the whole multiverse with the same memories, and it's like he doesn't want me to know how he feels." Tael puts her arms around him. "He cares about you more than anything," she said quietly, as Gon pressed his face into her hair. "He almost died for you. He went back in time for you. He might still be adjusting." Gon nodded, and she lifted her face so he could kiss her. "He worries," Gon said when they parted, and then, like a secret, "So do I." "I know you do," Tael said, and kissed him again. "Dear Yong, he will probably tell you that he single-handedly stopped a war, but what really happened is that we finally made it to Lake Joseon, where, despite my hanbo and traditional hairpin, we were immediately recognized as strangers and sent before a magistrate, who took one look at Igon and determined that he was too clean and handsome to be anything but a nobleman in disguise. The townspeople wanted nothing to do with a disguised, mysterious nobleman who wouldn't give his name, so they ransomed us to the highest bidder, which is how we found ourselves the honored guests of a squad of bandits. The bandits were at war with some other bandits, but they were very polite to us. I got a good night's sleep in a warm tent that only smelled slightly of goat, and when I woke up, your king had somehow convinced the bandits to resolve their dispute. He's very pleased with himself. I didn't even get to hit anyone, which I'm sure you will agree is unfair. Jeong Tae-ul."
Choyoung to Jeong Tae-ul. "Greetings. His Majesty did seem pleased with himself when he returned home. So much so, in fact, that when the delegation from China arrived earlier this week, he gleefully wrung half a dozen concessions out of them in the first 2 days. This may be why there was an assassination attempt the day before yesterday, but let me assure you that all is well. The assassin did not make it into the palace, much less within striking distance of His Majesty. Also, I got to hit someone. I wish you the same luck on your next adventure. Try not to let him overturn too many governments. Yours, Choyoung."
Tucked inside a picture book, Eunsolp tells me this was Eunbi and Kabi's favorite book when they were three. They might not remember you, but this is really from them. I told Eunsolp this was for a friend with twin siblings a few years younger than his. Kabi was excited to contribute, but Eunbi says she doesn't trust other twins. She's almost as suspicious as you. Jeong Tae-ul. Taped to a bottle of Kingdom Reserve Soju.
"His Majesty has been in a mood all week. Good luck. Yours, Choyoung."
Tae-ul collapsed back into the rumpled sheets. Next to her, Gon made a wordless noise of protest and reached for her hand. She gave it to him, laughing breathlessly up at the ceiling. It was a nice ceiling. It was a nice hotel. They hadn't left the bed since they'd arrived. Last week, they'd been resistance fighters in 1915, in a world where the resistance was winning against the Japanese occupation. This week, they were in a luxury hotel room in 2004, in what Gon was calling KX-072. He had started classifying the worlds they visited with a taxonomy Teul didn't entirely understand. She wasn't a mathematician, but his eyes lit up when he talked about it. His eyes lit up now, too, when she turned on her side to look at him. They were both sweaty and sticky and naked, and Gon had the slightly dazed look of a man who had been ridden hard into the mattress, which of course he had. "Hi," he said softly. His hair was damp and tangled, falling into his eyes, and she loved him. "Hi," she said, leaning over their joined hands to kiss him. He tasted like her. "How many coats is this now?" He nipped her earlobe and she shivered. "They're my coats," he said. "I'm the king. And if I recall correctly, you tore the buttons off this one." "I was in a hurry," she admitted, too content and satisfied to blush. "Is Lady No going to be mad?" Gon shook his head, smiling. "She's changed the talismans, so now they're all prayers for a long and happy life. I'm not sure if she's given up hope, or if she just knows that I found the only woman in the universe I want to be with." Teul had her suspicions. Lady No was sharp as a tack, and Gon wasn't exactly what you would call subtle. "As long as she's not trying to marry you off to anyone else," she said, curling into him. She rested her head on his shoulder, which she had discovered was much more comfortable than lying down. "Well, maybe Yong," Gon said. Teul raised her eyebrows, and Gon laughed and pressed a kiss to her forehead. "Don't worry, Jong Teul." "Oh, I'm not," said Teul.
Choyoung to Jong Teul. Greetings. It's bad enough that His Majesty has been walking around with his head in the clouds all week, but did you really have to leave so many marks? We had a dozen photo ops and a portrait sitting scheduled with Prince Buyong. It's summer, and not every item of His Majesty's ridiculous wardrobe has a high collar. Choyoung.
Yong, I have to ask, do you call him Your Majesty in bed? Teul. Choyoung was standing at Gon's shoulder when she met him in the bamboo forest. "Yong!" she exclaimed, surprised and pleased. "Did you finally decide to come with us for the weekend? I told you it'd be fine to leave Hope be in charge again. And if your Changmi is anything like ours, he must be doing well."
"I..."
Yong started. He was much harder to read than Eunsolp, who showed everything on his face. But Teul was very good at reading people, and she knew him. He was flustered.
"No, I was hoping to speak with you for a moment."
He darted a glance at Gon.
"In private."
"Of course," Teul said. Gon looked peeved, so she went over to kiss him hello. "Give us a minute, okay?" "Certainly," he said, with an impressive display of nonchalance. "I will go and purchase coffee from the Ajumma near the payphone. I might even drink it without anyone tasting it first." He said this pointedly to the air beside Yong, and then stalked off through the trees. Teul looked at Yong, ready to share an amused glance, but he wasn't smiling. Instead, he was bowing low over his hands. As low, she realized with a sudden horror, as one would to a queen. "Yonga, no," she said, taking him by the arms and pulling him up. "No, I... what?"
"Jongteu,"
he said formally. He took a step back and bowed again.
"I must apologize. I would never... His Majesty and I have not..."
Teul had never imagined Choyoung stumbling over his words. And finally, he took a breath and managed to meet her eyes. His face was flushed.
"His Majesty and I are not lovers. He loves you. He went through 100 universes until he found you. He would never betray you. I would never betray you. Please believe—
Tail put up a hand, and Yong stopped talking. Hold on, she said slowly. You're telling me— I'm not blind, Yong. I'm literally a detective, and you love Egon. You love him as much as I do. The same way I do. Yong looked down at the toes of his impeccably shined shoes. Unsop came out to me when he was 15, Taeul added, more gently. I guess it's possible that you're not bi, too, but—
I am,
Yong said.
But Jongtaeul, I promise you—
Please, just call me Nuna already. Taeul said. Are you serious? You and Gon never— Yong bit his lip.
When we were teenagers. In university, some. But I had to protect him. I couldn't protect him and also be— It wasn't possible.
That is absolute bullshit, Taeul said sharply, driven past her endurance. You trust me to protect him, don't you? I love him. I'm sleeping with him. Yong's ears were bright red. Taeul reached out and gave him a comforting clap on the shoulder, the same way she would Unsop or Tiangmi. Or Shinjae. Yong looked a little startled, and then his mouth quirked in the tiniest smile.
I know,
he said before sobering again.
Chong—
She glared and he swallowed hard.
Nuna, all right. I still wouldn't. He's in love with you.
That doesn't mean he's not in love with you, too, Taeul pointed out. It seemed obvious to her. Look, Yonga, even before I fell in love with him, I knew how important you were. I assumed— Well, I guess I was wrong. But you were always part of him, to me. She sighed, leaning against the tree beside him. Egon and I— We live every day for today. We love each other, but we don't talk about the future. She looked around at the grove of bamboo trees, the space where the obelisks would appear when Gon came back, the gateway to her impossible beloved life. I don't live in the Kingdom of Korea, she said quietly, nudging her shoulder against Yong's. I'm not the queen, and I don't want to be. I want to go on adventures. I'd like it if you came along sometimes, but even if I was there every day of his life, I wouldn't stand between you. Don't you think there's enough of him for two people? Yong was quiet for a moment, and then he laughed. She'd never heard him laugh before, and it made her feel as buoyant as a balloon.
There's enough of him for a whole universe.
Enough of me for what? Gon said, making them both jump. He was coming through the trees with three paper cups balanced between his fingers. Taeul snorted. Yong made a desperate gurgling noise and then clapped his hand over his mouth. You really do think everything is about you, Taeul said fondly. Isn't it? Gon asked, eyebrows raised. He handed her one of the cups and turned to Yong. Yong was pulling himself back together, and he hadn't quite returned to the stiff-spined bodyguard, and Gon smiled at him. It was hard to imagine, Taeul thought, that anyone in the universe would fail to recognize the depth of affection in that smile. No, Taeul lied remorselessly. I'm convincing Yong to call me Nuna.
She was very persuasive.
Yong agreed blandly, taking his coffee from Gon. Gon made a face. Not fair, he complained. He still won't call me Hyong.
Your Majesty.
Yong protested. But Taeul was grinning. You'll have to work on him, she said, leaning up to kiss Gon's cheek. There's still time.
Cho Young to Jong Taeul. Greetings. No, I don't call him Your Majesty in bed. Yours, Choyong.
Yonga, that's all I get? No details. Tao.
Nuna, ask him yourself. Yours, Choyong.
It was 1973, in KX-248, and Gon looked better in bell-bottom jeans than anyone should. He was relaxed and a little dreamy and very, very smug. He and Taeul held hands as they strolled through Busan, eating jinpang from a street vendor. So, Taeul asked as they stopped to gaze out over the ocean. It was late summer and gorgeous. She let go of Gon's hand to finish her steamed bun. So, Gon said smugly. Taeul rolled her eyes and poked him in the side. The bell-bottoms really were indecent, especially with half the diamond buttons missing from his leather jacket. Thank you, he said, and leaned down to kiss her. I love you, Jong Taeul. And? She prompted. And Yong, he said. His cheeks were pink. There we go, she said. Don't be such an idiot again. Gon laughed and tucked his arm through hers as they started walking again. I'm really not sure I can promise that, he said. But I'll try. You're very good at keeping your promises, Yi Gon, Taeul said, squeezing his hand where it rested on her arm. Is he meeting us back at the hotel? Gon nodded. Security perimeter. He also needed some clothes. We're going to have to expand the costume collection. He'd look good in a hanbo, don't you think? Try him in palm fronds, Taeul said, and they laughed all the way down the street.
The end.
If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. And if you enjoyed this Podfic, you're welcome to leave feedback for me and Revolutionary Joe, also at this Podfix post, and we'd love to hear from you. Thank you for listening.